Blog Talk Radio.
You're now listening to
Hot Takes
with
Bertola and Eric.
Welcome to another episode of Hot Takes. I am Eric Nifong. You can find me on Twitter at @E_Nifong. And I'm joined by Nolan Haig. You can find him on Twitter at NJH09. And we are in full force here. Sports galore. We have basketball, football, baseball still going on. We're going to talk about the MLB playoffs and recap some NFL here. Should be a pretty good show, and I guess we should start off with asking how your weekend was and how football was this weekend for you.
It was awesome. Definitely the best weekends are the ones in which your team does not play, at least in the NFL, and actually in college, but I didn't get to watch a whole lot of college games. But, no, I got to pretty much watch all the NFL games, kept up on all those, and I wish we had time to talk about more of it, but we got a lot of baseball to get to.
Yeah, we definitely do. We'll try and fit in some football here at the end, but we didn't really talk about the playoffs last week. We kind of just went over our season award winners, so definitely been a while since we have talked baseball too.
Yeah, and definitely a lot to catch up on. We kind of got a whole week to make up for. And we still got a game going on, which apparently a lot of people wanted to call over after not even two innings. But,
yeah. Yeah, definitely a lot going on. We already have two teams that have advanced to the championship series, so I guess we should get going here. Talk about our picks from last week. We'll start off here. Red River Rivalry, Texas, Oklahoma. Not a pretty game, but OU ended up pulling it out 45-40 at the end. Texas fought till the end. They actually went down 14. At that point, I thought that there was no chance that they could even make a game of it, but they did. I mean, not make a game of it, but be able to have a chance at the end just because they couldn't stop Oklahoma all day. But they did, and it just wasn't enough. And now Charlie Strong's seat is scorching hot. And Texas is going to have to figure something out here going down the stretch. I still don't want to see him go. I think he should get one more year, his junior year, with his recruits. If they don't show any improvement, then you let him go. But not quite sure if we're going to have that opportunity, or he's going to have that opportunity.
Yeah, they definitely didn't really look good. You thought maybe there was some hope early on with those picks, but Baker Mayfield kind of settled down and ended up almost throwing for 400 yards and three touchdowns after those picks. So a lot of big plays, too. What was it, three touchdowns of over 40 yards? Not a good look. I already said last week that, yeah, you'd think he'd get some more time, but Texas just seems it's a program that they're not going to wait around, it would seem. It seems like he was kind of forced on the boosters anyway. But
yeah, I mean, he was a good candidate at the time. I mean, he was a big hire
definitely.
At the time. I know a lot of people are talking about he was like their 10th choice or whatever, but that's not close. I mean, there were pipe dreams like Nick Saban and things like that. And that just comes with being Texas, thinking you could land anyone. But the reality is they're not going to get Nick Saban. They're going to have to get one of these younger coaches that can kind of build the program and be a coach for many years here. And I think the only way I'd let Charlie go is if Tom Herman has his name signed and ready to come to Texas.
Yeah, it's definitely, once again, the hottest name, but yeah, is it worth starting over again, I guess? Because who knows what's going to happen? Is it going to be another rough couple of years? It'd be incredibly difficult to just turn things around just like that, especially at this level. The Big 12, the Big 12 isn't really that strong right now. It's kind of wide open, but do you see a quick turnaround like that even being possible?
I mean, they have really good players right now. That's the thing I don't understand. They have, Malik Jefferson is going to be a top 10 pick in the NFL. They have a lot of guys. Their front seven is pretty good. They're not tackling. They don't tackle. I don't get it. Malik Jefferson, Jason Hall are always around the ball. You kind of depend on those guys, but other than that, their secondary is not good. That's the scary part is Charlie Strong. His moniker is defense, and the defense hasn't gotten any better. But I think one thing that kind of goes overlooked is just how much Mack Brown kind of gutted the program here at the end. Not that he did it on purpose, but just they did. They really had to start over, and it's kind of showing its effects now. I just hope that they don't kind of fall off as long as Michigan did there for a while. Another top program that was irrelevant for almost a decade, I would say. Not quite,
yeah,
but
a while.
It just took the right coach to get in there, and that's what they're going to have to hope for, because they're going to get talent. They're going to have talent every year. It's just how they use that talent. And right now, Charlie's not using the talent to the best of its abilities, or maybe he is. Maybe that talent is not the right fit. I'm not really sure, but yeah, things look good at first against Oklahoma. You mentioned that they got the three turnovers, which is two more than they had all year. And I was nervous because they got them all right at the beginning, and they scored 3 points off the turnovers.
Right.
And
yeah.
They didn't do anything with it, and you couldn't really rely on that team to get any more. Just not a good game. So we'll have to see where they go from here. I don't know. Everyone said that the problem has been that they haven't had a quarterback, and they've missed on all these quarterbacks over the last 6 or 7 years here, and I don't think that's it. I think their quarterback's pretty good. He's scoring. He's putting up points, and the defense can't stop anyone.
Yeah, it's really tough to say. It's been kind of a weird go of it for Texas lately, and for Oklahoma too, really. With the exception of last year, it's just the Big 12 is just kind of a strange thing right now. I mean, the two schools that you're counting on to to carry the conference aren't, and it seems like kind of the whole thing's kind of suffering for it.
Yeah, most definitely, and it's going to be kind of interesting to see where the Big 12 goes from here over the next few years. Whether they decide to expand, I don't think they will. But, the Big 12 could be in jeopardy, especially if a team doesn't turn around quickly. However, I think West Virginia is still undefeated, but that I don't know. But that doesn't really count. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
So, I don't
all right.
know. yeah. Moving on.
I guess let's go on to a game that was a little more exciting and had probably bigger implications as far as the bigger picture going forward. Tennessee and Texas A&M. Once again, Tennessee kind of got off to a slowish start. They just can't seem to be able to recover this time, at least in the second overtime, after they exchanged field goals in the first. Trevor Knight rushed for what was, I believe, his third touchdown of the game to go ahead, and then Josh Dobbs threw another interception to end it. So do you think Texas A&M's for real?
No.
No.
I don't.
All right.
No. Trevor Knight's going to have one of these games that he had at Oklahoma throughout his career that he cost his team a game. I'm not a believer in Trevor Knight. The defense is a lot better. I know they gave up 38 points to Tennessee, but they're a lot better than they have been here over the last couple years. I can't put my trust in Trevor Knight of Oklahoma, and he was not very good. So I think Alabama is the team to beat in that conference. They get a week off here to kind of prepare for Alabama, but I just don't think it's going to be enough. And I don't think A&M could even beat Florida at this point.
Okay, all right. So I guess since these two teams are actually Alabama's next two opponents, you'd say Tennessee has a better shot at beating Alabama than Texas A&M?
No. Alabama's
no?
probably going to
okay.
beat Tennessee like 56-17. In five of their six games, they've went down in all of those games. And I'm sorry, but Alabama's not a team that's going to let you back in it. And if that happens to them, it's just going to snowball and not going to be a good day at all.
So no Josh Dobbs, Johnny Manziel game?
No, not a chance.
All right. Yeah, no, I mean, obviously, I mean, I guess that's kind of spoiling things for later, but yeah, I don't think either team really has much of a chance. Obviously, this game was really good. Again, you got guys like Myles Garrett a little banged up, but still playing and getting a lot of pressure and just being disruptive. So, a lot to like there.
Yeah, definitely. And didn't Tennessee turn the ball over like six times in this?
Seven times.
They turned over seven.
There we go.
And
yeah,
and they had a chance to win. That also doesn't really make me a believer.
Yeah, A&M. Yeah, actually missed a couple opportunities to put it away in regulation. Kind of ugly there late. They missed this field goal, and wasn't there like a fumble at the goal line?
Yeah, they had the ball with like 2 minutes left, and the running back, I can't think of his name, but
Trayvon Williams.
He broke it out. Yes, he broke it out to the left side and was about to take it 70 yards to the house, and actually the first guy that he made break his tackle continued to run down the field, and when they got to about the 2 yard line, the guy just dove and punched the ball out of the back of the end zone and gave Tennessee the ball at the 20. It was a
Superman
remarkable play. Yeah, I thought that was going to be – it would have been – if Tennessee would have won that game, that would have been the biggest play possibly of the year, because I think
right.
that Tennessee rolls into Alabama with a lot more confidence. You never know what could happen. I still think that I don't think they would have won still, but you never know. But
yeah,
you,
I don't know. If anything, this loss might even help them going into Alabama, because they cannot keep starting off games that sloppy, and they definitely can't turn the ball over that much. And I mean, they really shouldn't have been in it at all.
Yeah, they should have gashed Texas A&M. I mean, their running back Kamara, I think every time he touched the ball, he got 10 yards. He was phenomenal all day. But I think A&M got pretty lucky in that game.
All right. I guess there's nothing else. We can move on to the next game that we picked, which was NFL game. It was the Falcons and the Broncos. Broncos had been undefeated, and the Falcons had one loss, and they still do because they won 23-16. It's actually kind of interesting. I figured that the Broncos defense would be able to kind of keep the Falcons from winning, but you know, that was just one of those super low-scoring, ugly games that the Broncos tend to win, but the Falcons surprised everyone, I guess, with really Tevin Coleman. The Broncos didn't have an answer for him. They kept mashing him up on linebackers, and he got free, had some big catches for some huge gains. Also in the running game, Devontae Freeman just seemed to be picking up chunks of yards whenever they needed him. They were constantly moving the chains. Julio Jones, coming off his big game last week, only had two catches for 29 yards, but they really didn't need him. Paxton Lynch played like a rookie, and just any time there was a slightest hint of pressure, he kind of caved and tried to get out of the pocket, and the play broke down, or he overthrew somebody, made a bad throw, just yeah. But, yep, so that I guess that leaves, what, the Vikings is the only undefeated team?
It does. Yeah, it does.
And the Browns are the only team without a win, so.
Yep.
Good old NFL
definitely.
Parody.
Yeah, and you mentioned that Vikings game. That was actually my upset pick, and the Texans looked awful. They didn't know what was going on.
Yeah. Brock Osweiler looked awful.
Yes, I'm pretty sure he, it's not. I mean, $75 year, Vikings are for real.
Right.
Sam Bradford surprising everyone.
Yeah, and they seem to keep losing people, but still. It just doesn't seem to really matter. But, all right. I guess just to kind of keep things moving here, I guess our last pick before we do upsets was the wild card game. Yeah?
Well, that was my – I was going to – yeah, that was my upset pick, was that Vikings game there.
Oh, right.
Go ahead with yours, and we'll just kind of go into baseball.
Sure. Yeah. All right. Mine was actually USC over Colorado.
Cheat.
You know, Colorado was only ranked 21st, but USC did win 21-17. It really wasn't that close though. They'd kind of shut. They were gaining all sorts of yards on Colorado's defense, which had actually. Been ranked pretty highly in the nation, I guess, as far as yards given up and stuff. But USC got them for over 500 yards. And really, if USC hadn't turned it over so many times, then, it probably would have been more of a blowout. But Yep, that's really all I got there. One more thing. I guess Colorado has never beaten USC, so that's...
Oh,
darn.
Some upset.
Right. I was unaware before the pick, but now we know.
We do, and it also helped you go 3-2 this week, and me go 1-4, so... Starting off great here.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, and that only win that I got was the wild card game that seems forever ago now. It was Giants Mets, of course. Giants ended up winning that one 3-0 off a ninth inning home run by Connor Gillespie. Is that right?
Yep. It's funny,
yeah.
In my notes, I wrote down Mets 3, Giants 0. I was like, that's not right. But, yeah, basically, I can't remember where I picked up on the game, probably maybe the fourth or fifth inning, but just watching those two pitchers kind of go at it for a while, Bumgarner and Syndergaard, was really good. And then, of course, Noah Syndergaard kind of tired out and – you had to take him out of the game. Mets had to make sure that they kept the game tied or kept the Giants at zero. But the thing about Madison Bumgarner is that before tonight, he just keeps pitching and doesn't give up any runs and doesn't let anybody pass second base. it is just really crazy how he just seems to be able to turn it on like that. I felt like he was going to pitch into the 10th, 11th, 12th if they needed him to. The Mets just, they didn't have a shot. And poor Jerry Familia.
Another bad postseason memory for Jerry Familia, but we don't really need to talk about the Mets anymore because they're not currently playing. And the Giants could be done after tonight. Their season could be over. They came in down 2-0, but they had to be feeling pretty good. I mean, they were sending Madison Bumgarner to the hill. But like you mentioned, Jake Arrieta took him deep for a 3-run home run in the first or second inning there. And really got the Cubs going. That's the score right now is 3-1. Kind of surprised there. The person who's going to get a run off of Madison Bumgarner in the postseason apparently is Jake Arrieta.
He's the first pitcher that Madison Bumgarner has actually given up a home run to in his career. So that's just, insane. couldn't be worse timing. I actually tweeted the night of the wild card game, Chicago better hope they're up 2-0 because I don't see a way they score in game 3. And, apparently I was not counting on the power threat that is Jake Arrieta.
Yeah, I mean, who would have thought? It's also a second home run by a Cubs pitcher in this postseason. And really, if it wasn't for the Cubs pitchers hitting, it'd be kind of interesting to see where the series would be because, for the most part, the rest of their bats have been pretty silent. But it's been the Cubs pitchers who have scored all their runs here. They have 6 RBIs in the last 2 games. And, who would have scripted that? But they need to figure something out if they advance here because they're going to need more than just their pitchers, relying on their pitchers for runs.
Yeah, and I mean, you're just hoping, I mean, that lineup is stacked enough there that you would assume somebody's going to step up. I mean, they also play in that small park. Obviously, the ball isn't going to be flying as well. Now it's starting to get colder, but there's definitely enough bats in that lineup to to carry him. I mean, this is why everybody wants, or everybody, they're the popular pick. They just seem to have the most talent. But as far as the Giants go, it's just probably wasn't going to be enough. They might not have had everything they needed in the lineup. Obviously, they haven't been able to put up very many runs. But with the exception of Samardzija's start, the pitching has been good. I mean, you got, you know, classic Madison Bumgarner in the wild card game, and you really got a great performance out of Johnny Cueto. Just kind of came up short in a 1-0 game in game one.
Yeah, allowed that unfortunate timing home run off of to Javier Baez off of Cueto, and that was how the Cubs won the first game. And yeah, I didn't really see the Giants having much of a chance. Their offense has just been very, very weak for the most part, especially in the second half of the season. And I just didn't see any way they could do it unless they sent Madison Bumgarner out there all five games. But looks like the Cubs are gonna move on here and take on the winner of the Nationals, Dodgers, who have had kind of some weather problems, and they had to play tonight in L.A. They also played Game 2 in L.A. Because of the hurricane. But the Nationals won both in L.A. after the Dodgers took the one in Washington. So Nationals now one win away from the NLCS. And kind of going just through the postseason a little quietly here. Everyone's focused on the Cubs and what they're doing. So they could definitely be a dangerous team here.
Yeah, and the Dodgers kind of have some more interesting storylines going through this series. Corey Seager's been great. He's had two home runs in the first two games, I think in the first inning of both those games, and then even tonight had an RBI double in the first inning. He's just continued the great year he's had. But, as far as the Nationals, it seems like kind of a little bit of everybody. I mean, game one probably should have been the premier. It was definitely the premier pitching matchup, but neither one pitched, you know. It was, yeah, I guess, less than stellar. But you just kind of got more regular baseball. These other series kind of got a lot of home runs all over the place, and I guess there's a lot of home runs tonight. But
yeah, definitely. So those are the only two series still going on here, because we know who is going to be trying to go to the World Series in the AL, and that's the Toronto Blue Jays and the Cleveland Indians now. The Indians ended up clinching their series against the Red Sox tonight. Big Poppy's last career game. Not how he wanted to go out, but Cleveland is Cleveland's looking pretty good. They're knit all together. They have, of course, the really good pitching, and their lineup is hitting the ball. I think that they have as good a shot as one to win this whole thing.
Don't really know what happened with the Red Sox. The bats, I guess, just didn't really seem to be there. You kind of had classic David Price in game two. But the Indians look great. I mean, despite losing guys like Carrasco and Salazar, and apparently Salazar might actually be available in the ALCS. Out of the pen, so Cleveland may just be getting a little bit better. They've obviously got a great manager in Terry Francona. He's kind of worked the bullpen, quote unquote, correctly through this series. Definitely, or yeah, close kind of close games in game one and this last one. Really kind of worked that bullpen to get that sweep and to get everybody on full rest going into what should be a crazy series against Toronto. Like you said, both of these lineup Indians can hit. Toronto is definitely power all throughout that lineup. So it's going to be a crazy ALCS. I don't really want either team to win.
Yeah, no, I'm there with you. I'm pulling for whatever team comes out of the NL at this point. But still, both teams are looking really good right now. But the Blue Jays did come into the ALCS last year looking like this after facing Texas. They looked unbeatable, I mean, almost. And the Royals really had to fight back, and they ended up pulling it out. So I think that Toronto is going to kind of fall victim to another AL Central team this year in the ALCS, and I just don't see any way that Cleveland won't be in the World Series.
You never know until they play them, but I might agree with you. I think I'd give Cleveland the edge here.
All right, well, we'll have to see. That series starts on Friday, right? Is that right?
What's today? Monday?
Friday?
Yeah.
It's Thursday or Friday.
That's probably right. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure Indians will have Kluber going. And Blue Jays will probably have Estrada, I would assume.
I think the Cleveland will send out Trevor Bauer, in the first game, Kluber second game, and then Tomlin in the third one. I don't know. Doesn't really matter at that point. But I think, I think that Bauer will get the nod at first.
I would say it'd be interesting to see how Cleveland's was going to deal with a longer series with their starting rotation, but Toronto's isn't exactly super deep either. So,
yeah, definitely not. And
this could be a very high scoring series.
Definitely. And if it is, I still like Cleveland's pitching a little better. And that's I'm basically giving them this series just based on their pitching. We'll have to see.
And Cleveland's bullpen, I'd probably go with Cleveland's bullpen. But, it's going to be – should be a good one.
Yep, and looks like Madison Bumgarner night is over in San Francisco after five innings. Gave up those three runs, and Giants going to have to hope their bullpen holds them to that and their offense kind of wake up here. They have a runner on third with one out in the bottom of the fifth right now, so – we'll have to see how that series ends up here. But it looks like Chicago will be taking on the winner of Nationals Dodgers. Who do you think that they're going to be facing?
I really think that Chicago really needs to get this run across. The Giants have a runner on.
Yeah.
Okay, then the Giants need to get that run across, obviously, if they want to stay alive. But, I guess they did. Did they? My page just updated. Anyway, we might have a game here. If the Giants, can keep it close, then maybe they stay alive. But, I don't know how much longer they stay alive. They keep it going, especially if the Cubs start hitting. But if we're going to ruin my hot take, but, I think the Nationals will win. Whenever the next game is, Wednesday or Thursday, And it'll have to be Nationals-Cubs, and I'm going to have to stick with my original prediction that the Cubs are going to win that one. Hello? All right. Well, we lost Juco, Eric. So funny. All right, well, I don't know if we're going to be able to get him back, so might just have to end it. Apparently support services are closed today in observance of the holiday. And I actually saw that before and was like, nah, nothing's going to happen. But sure enough, gets kicked out and with less than 10 minutes to go and we still got all this stuff to do, but all right. Well, I guess to wrap this up, our picks are going to be Alabama, Tennessee, Ohio State, Washington, the Falcons, and the Seahawks, and the Cowboys and the Packers. I am taking Alabama, Ohio State, Seahawks, and the Cowboys. I'm sure he's different on a couple of those. And then my upset's going to be Indiana over Nebraska. And like I said earlier, my hot take is the Nats are going to beat the Dodgers in the next game to beat them in four to take on maybe the Cubs. I don't know. It's 3-2. So, all right. Well, I guess we're not going to get them back. So, you're actually going to get the end of an episode. This has been Hot Take.